Om Shanti. Everyone okay? All okay? Yes? We will have an hour of question answer session. Okay? If you have any questions to ask, most welcome. Any questions, any type of questions you want to ask? Yes? Please ask. Please speak loudly. Everybody can hear. Mic, yeah, take this mic. Yeah.
When the distraction happened already, towards the end of the Iron Age and to the Golden Age, and all the bodies have all gone back into Earth, and we're now in the Golden Age. We adopt new bodies, depending on how good we have been.
Mm.
Where are those bodies coming from?
I will tell you. Yeah.
Lakshmi and Narayan body, for example.
Okay, very good question. See, first of all, the first question before this question is, from where have we souls come? We souls have come from the soul world. That's our home. We say this world is a stage and we are all actors playing our respective roles. So actors' stage is only for acting, but they come from a home, no? They have their own house, their own home. So souls also come from a home, and that's the soul world, the world of souls, the incorporeal world. And we souls have come from that home. We say, yes, even Father, God, the Father, dwells in heaven, in that world. Now some people call that heaven, but actually heaven is different from soul world. Soul world is the world of peace. Now, God doesn't rule in heaven. In heaven, there is kingdom, there is ruling, you know, king in heaven. But for soul world means where the souls are in silence, without the body. In heaven, they have body, golden age bodies. The deities live in heaven, in golden age. So we souls have come from the soul world. And we came to play our part on this world drama stage. And now the drama is coming to an end. And now it's time for us to return home from where we came. In the morning you go to work, and after you've finished your work, you go home, no? And then you take rest, and then next morning you're back again to work. Similarly, that's our home from where we have come. And from here we go back to our home. But then all the souls don't go back. Some do stay even during destruction, especially in Bharat, we say, when there will be civil war. All will not die. Some will remain. They will then give birth to those deity souls. Those souls have gone up to the soul world, because at the end all of us will go back to the soul world, you know, going back to zero. We have to neutralize. And then we forget the cycle. And then we come again as deities. But those souls who go up, then they take rest and then come down again. But all don't go. So those who are here, they give birth to deity souls. And we call them as advanced party souls. Those souls who have left their bodies already, they have taken another birth. And in that birth, they have that yoga power. So with that yoga power, the power of purity, they are able to give birth to those deity souls. So again, it will start in this way. No, they won't be in the impure body. Of course, their parents are from Iron Age, no? They are from Iron Age. But then at least they have made the soul pure. At the confluence age, they have made the soul pure, but then left the body and took another body. So it's not that the souls are very impure. They have purified themselves, and therefore they are right to give birth to deity souls. But then their value isn't that much as it is of the deities. So then afterwards they'll also have to go back up. Just like, you know, when you are making a new tree from an old tree, you take a sapling, and from the old tree you take a branch and then turn that into a sapling. Then you put soil at the bottom and then roots start coming out from the old tree itself. Then when the roots start coming, then the new tree is created, and then you remove and then plant again. So from the old, the new starts again. And then the old is destroyed completely. So from the old, nothing will come from nothing. You know, something will come from nothing. Something cannot come from nothing. Something has to come from something. So the five elements are eternal. They are never created nor destroyed. And also humanity is eternal. There have always been human beings in this world. All the species. There have always been. You know, just like they show in the Bible too, they show that God told Noah to make an ark and then couple from each species to carry with him so that it continues for the next cycle. So, but it's not like there are species goes, only a couple goes. It means some souls remain and they give birth to the deity souls who come from the soul world. And all souls don't come at the same time. Just like on a drama stage, what happens? All actors don't come on the stage at the same time. Every actor comes at its own time. But once they come on the stage, they don't leave the stage and they don't leave and go back home. They have to be there backstage or whatever. And at the end, when the drama is over, all the actors come on the stage, you know, stand on the stage and then bid goodbye to the audience, and then everyone leaves. So to those souls who come in this world, in the cycle, they cannot go back in the middle of the cycle. Because some people believe that liberation forever happens. We go and merge in the element. You know, that's what some beliefs are there. But God has revealed that no soul can merge like that. Because every soul is eternal. And as eternal souls, we have an eternal part to play on this world drama stage. And all actors have their own part to play. All actors have their respective part to play. Your part, she cannot play. Your part, another one cannot play. You have to play your own part. So in the next cycle, you will have to play your part again. So if there is any emergence, or then the soul goes and merges, that is destroyed. No, then it can't come in the next cycle. It's finished. But the soul never finishes. It's never destroyed. It has to come back in the next cycle. So it's eternal. And this stage is also eternal. Actors are eternal, so the stage is also eternal. But as I said, the part is between two, soul and matter. And when soul is master, matter is subservient. It is like a servant. Soul is now, but today the soul has become like a slave, and the matter has become masters. You know, all the elements, means the senses, they have become the masters. Sense of touch, sense of sight, sense of smell, sense of hearing. These five senses of the body. There are five senses, you know. We have the eyes, which is sense for sight, sense of hearing, the ears, sense of smell, sense of touch, and the sense of taste. So all these are five senses which are acted, in which these five, you know, organs, they work, and through those sense organs we have the sense of taste and smell and all that. But today we are seeing that all these senses have become the masters. Now sense of touch. Now what is sense of touch? It's so small. You go to a museum and it's written there, please don't touch. Please don't touch. But what do we do? Sometimes, who is nobody watching? Let me touch it. Let me touch it. But written there, don't touch, still the fingers, they go forward and we start touching them. So the attraction of the skin is there. Now, the climax of this sense of touch is lust. Lust, sex lust, we can say. It is a climax of sense of touch. So these vices are actually the climax of the senses of the body. For example, sense of taste. And we say the climax of that is greed. So lust, greed, eyes, sense of seeing, you know, when somebody is angry, how he sees. So eyes, they become like, they are, the climax is anger. Greed is the tongue. Attachment is nose. When you're attached to someone, you want to cling to that person. You want to smell that one, you know, whether it's a person or an animal or whatever. So that's attachment. And then ego, the ears. When somebody speaks ill of you, immediately that ego comes and then you, because you heard something which you did not like, and then the ego comes. So lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego. These are five vices. And these five sense organs, they are influenced then by these vices. And then the sense organs, they become the masters. Because these vices become strong. And that means matter has become master. And the soul becomes a slave of it. Supposing I slap someone. Now it's in my hand, no, whether I slap or not slap. But then I slap. And then I ask myself, oh, why did I slap? I should not have slapped like that. But I did slap, and whose hands are they? They're not somebody else's. I'm the master, no? But why do I slap if I should not slap? Because his hands have become the masters now. Like the horse rider is riding the horse. Now he wants the horse to go this way, but the horse is going that way. And he says, why is the horse going that way? Because horse has become the master. So these five senses are like the horses, the five horses. The body is like a carriage, a chariot, and the soul is a charioteer. Now the sense organs have become masters. And mind has become a prey of the senses. Wherever the senses pull the mind goes there. And then the intellect is supposed to guide the mind. But then the intellect starts following the mind. And the mind is pulling, is a slave of the senses. Actually what it should be, the mind thinks. That's the soul, thinks through the mind. Then the intellect decides whether this action should be done or not done. And then the third is the action, the senses. But today what is happening? The senses have become the masters. So without thinking, without realizing, the senses work. No? The senses work. So climax of sense of touch, lust, and the climax of that we are seeing today, rapism. What is rapism? Rape. It is the climax of lust. Anger. The climax of anger, killing. Murder. Murder. Why do they murder? Because of anger. The climax of greed, corruption. How much money you need, but corruption. Corrupt. People are corrupt. Attachment, we say attachment is like a cobweb. You know cobweb, you've seen a spider, how the spider makes its cobweb, and then that spider gets stuck in that cobweb. It can't come out if it wants to, because the cobweb is made from the stomach. You know, the spider takes it out from its mouth. It comes from the stomach. And then the spider goes round and round and round, and the cobweb is made. and the spider is there. It cannot leave the cobweb. So it's like attachment, you know. We get caught in our own attachments. My child, my home, my family, my shop, my, you know. We get so attached because of, and then possessiveness. So all this is part of attachment. And we want to come out, we just can't come out. And that is why people are so afraid of death. Why are people afraid of death? Because what is death? Death is nothing but the soul leaving the body, that's all. Master is gone, then for whom will the body work? You know? Just like the, like in a car, the driver is gone, the car will just stop there. So body works for the master. But today, we are seeing how the body has become the master of the soul. And the result is so much of sorrow. Now when we practice meditation, we now come back to our origin. Who am I? I tell myself, I am a pure soul. So I'm coming back to my origin. I'm a peaceful soul. I'm a loving soul. These are my original qualities. So when I become aware of my original qualities, then I start getting them back. I start experiencing them once again. And then when I come in contact with the Supreme Being, who is the ocean of peace and love and happiness, then by connecting, whose child am I? In this way I connect. And then when I'm the child of the ocean of peace and love and happiness, immediately I'm charged. Because already I have in me, but it needs to be triggered. You know, that trigger is needed. Just like even in tube light, you need a trigger. And so the Supreme Being becomes like a trigger. And then it triggers our qualities and then we become awakened. So I'm the embodiment of peace, the child of the ocean of peace, and immediately I become peaceful. So in this way I get back to my original stage. So when the senses become the masters, to make the soul become the master once again of the senses, the Supreme Soul has to intervene. Because otherwise there's an entropy, you know, you have heard about entropy in science. Everything goes through a downfall, a degradation, until an outside force comes to elevate that thing once again. So that is called going down and then coming up again. So the Supreme Soul acts like that trigger who makes the soul become powerful once again through that awareness. So that Supreme Being comes and gives the awareness that you are not this body, but you are a soul, you are a peaceful soul, and I am your father, the ocean of peace, you belong to the world of peace, and now you have to come back to me. So the soul starts remembering that home, the peaceful abode, starts remembering the ocean of peace and thereby experiences the power of peace within. So it regains its power once again in the company of the Father. It's like the battery getting charged once again. The battery is used up, it gets discharged and again connects to the powerhouse. So Raj Yoga meditation, we say, acts like a charger which connects the soul to the Supreme Soul. And how do we connect? Through an awareness. Who am I and whom do I belong to? I belong to the Supreme Father and I'm a soul because it's a soul which is connected to the Supreme Soul, not the body. And when I'm soul conscious, immediately I know whom do I belong to. When I'm body conscious, I am thinking of all other things. I belong to so-and-so, I belong to so-and-so, or these things belong to me. But when I'm a soul, then nothing of this physical body belongs to me. But I'm a point of divine light. I'm the resident of the eternal home of light. And I'm the child of the Supreme Father, who's also a point of light. And immediately I become light. So we say double light. Double light. One light means light in form and the other is light in weight. You know, light and heavy. So I become so light. I'm a point of divine light, very light, and also so light in weight, and I can fly. So mind and intellect become my wings, and I begin to fly. In a second, I can travel to that soul world. So lust, anger, greed, attachment, and ego, the years, how we have accumulated so much of ego in ourselves, because all what we possess in today's world has led to that ego. Possessiveness leads to ego. This is mine, mine, mine. And then when it comes to, you know, it being taken away, immediately there is so much of sorrow. So what does death do? Death takes away everything, because you can't take your possessions with you. You can't take anybody else with you. You have to go alone. So why are people so afraid of death? Actually, there's nothing to fear death, nothing. Fear death is just changing your costume, that's all. I take off old costume, a worn dress, maybe it is dirty, I've worn it the whole day, it's dirty now, I have a new dress in front of me, so why should I feel sorrow, or why should I be afraid to change the dress? But why are we afraid of death? We're afraid of death for many reasons. One reason is the ignorance that I'm a soul. This ignorance of I'm a soul makes me get afraid of death. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. You know, many people, they have this habit. Oh, I'll die. I'll die. I'll die. Whole day they are remembering death only. But what is there in death? It's just change of costume. That's all. So death is nothing. The driver has come out of the car. That's all. And car is separate. No, it's not the driver. So the fear of death, first reason is because the fear is I am going to die. And when we get this enlightenment, when we say enlightenment, Buddha got enlightenment. What enlightenment he got? He got this enlightenment that I never die. I'm eternal. I existed even before the body came into existence. The body came into existence in the mother's womb. It started from the mother's womb. But I existed even before that fetus came in the body. The embryo, conception. I was there even before that. And then the second reason why this fear of death, the reason is because of attachments to possessions. But when I came in this world, I didn't bring any possessions. No? Did I bring my house, my money, my talents, or whatever you may think of, whatever I possess at this moment, I did not bring with me when I came in this world. And I will not take with me when I leave the body. We will remain here. This is a bitter truth, but we have to accept this truth. What I have today belonged to somebody else before. And when I go, it will again belong to somebody else. What I have, it was somebody else's, no? But I got it. Now when I go, it will become somebody else's again. And then it will become somebody else's again. So, attachment to possessions, that is a second reason. Third reason is attachment to people. You know, when somebody is dying, gradually he starts getting detached from everything. But relationships, my son, my mother, my father, my daughter, my so-and-so. So where relationships, they are all based on karmic accounts. And these karmic accounts pull the soul. So many attachments to people. And how do I know I'm attached to people? Because I'm remembering them. I remember when I sit to meditate, I'm a point of light. I'm the child of the point of light. My son. Immediately that son is remembered, or husband is remembered, or wife is remembered. But why is that remembered? Because I forget I am a soul. I think I'm a mother, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter. No, I'm a soul. And that one also is a soul. That one is God's child. I'm God's child too. So when I'm aware of that, then I don't remember. But otherwise, the attachment to people, because of body consciousness. Then the fourth is fear of punishment. All the sinful actions which we have done in our lifetime, we know we will be punished for them. We know it. God gives justice. He is a true justice. And therefore we know that we will be punished for our sins. Many people say, okay, you know, in Christianity they believe that Christ took away our sins. But no one can take anyone's sins. Whatever karma I have done, I will have to pay for my karma. Even you can't pay for my karma, what I have done. You will pay for your karma. So we cannot blame anybody else, you know. It's because of him, no. It's my karma. Nobody can blame anybody else. And therefore, we say that we have to pay for our sinful actions, and therefore that fear of punishment. Because through punishment, the sinful actions are finished, you know. Like somebody commits a theft, then he's put into prison. Okay, 6 months prison, 1 year prison. And as is the action or whatever he has wrong, he has done, the punishment is accordingly. If he has murdered somebody, killed somebody, then his punishment is very severe. It will be life for life. If I take somebody's life, then I have to give up my life. I have no right to take anyone's life. Even a mother cannot take the life of her child. She may say, why not? I have given birth, so I have a right. No, you don't have a right. You can't kill your own child too. You'll be called a murderer, not a mother. And therefore, we say, live and let live. Live and let live, and live for others if you can. Why do you have to die? And therefore, we say that, but why are people afraid of death? Because they're afraid that they will get their punishment. And the fifth reason is, now what punishment, that's another subject. I won't go into that. But we do believe that yes, punishment is definitely there. And the fifth reason for fearing death is the feeling of going alone. Because nobody is going to accompany you. The soul will go alone. Now some people believe that the soul is with the dead body. We say no, how can the soul be with the dead body? And they say yes, Christ will come, or this my prophet soul will come and awaken the dead. Awaken the dead means what? That bodies are dead, finished. They become skeletons. Because all the five elements will mix in the five elements. And therefore the soul has to take another body. But then why this fear? The fear is because I'll be all alone. You know? And as humans, we all love to be in a gathering. Nobody likes to be alone. We are humans, and therefore we say we are social beings. Somebody is always alone, he can get mad, you know. But when we leave the body, we are alone. And therefore that fear, you know, where I'll go, like you're going on a dark street. On a dark street and you don't know where you're going, you may fall in a pit, you may fall somewhere, you don't see any light in front of you. There'll be so much fear. So the feeling of loneliness is another cause of fear of death. Now, when we learn meditation, we finish all fears. How? The first fear is, I will die. Now that's finished instantly. I never die. I never die. Even the thought, I want to die, I want to die. We say, you will never die. How can you die? You are eternal. And some people say, okay, I don't want to live in this body. God, take me back, the soul, take the soul back. We say, why do you want to leave the body to go back? Go back, go to the soul world mentally. How long it will take you? You have come from Australia, you have come from New Zealand or Thailand or Japan. Wherever your home is, if you want to go there through your mind, with your mind, how long will it take you to reach your home? How long? Just a fraction of a second. You think and you see your living room, your sitting room, your bedroom, your kitchen, whatever. It takes only a fraction of a second. So, with your mind, go to the soul world and become peaceful in that world of light. It's so easy. Like a bird, you know, the soul is compared to a bird. It can fly in a second. The body can't fly, but the soul is a bird. And for that we learn to withdraw, just like a tortoise. It withdraws. I withdraw from my senses. I'm a soul, a point of divine light and might seated here at the center of my forehead. And I'm the master of my senses. My senses are under my control. They cannot do anything without my permission. So the fear of death finishes. Then secondly, that fear is because of attachment to possessions. We say, gradually we make, this is the effort we have to make, that whatever I have actually doesn't belong to me. This is not mine. I and mine are different. Okay, this may be mine. It was not always mine, and it will not be always mine too. And it can break sometime, it can be lost at some time. So if I keep attachment to all this, then there will be so much sorrow. And we said two things. One thing is that I did not bring anything with me and I will not take anything with me. And secondly, a beautiful feeling you can keep that all this belongs to God. I also belong to God. If I belong to God, then everything what I have belongs to God. And who gave me? You know, we say God gave me. When a child is born, we say God gave. When somebody dies, he's gone to God. So, I have come from God and everything what I have, God has given to me. And when somebody has given to me, it is like something which I should take good care of without being attached to it. Supposing I give you some $500 and I say, please keep it safe with you. I will come back after 6 months and take it from you. Now, after 6 months when I come back and ask, you'll say, no, I kept for 6 months, now they become mine. Well, that's not right, no? I told you and to keep and I'll take it back. So if I say God gave everything, then how can I have attachment to it? It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to that one. Even this body does not belong to me. You know, we do so much for it. So much for the body, but it doesn't belong to me. In a second, the bird soul like a bird flies away. It doesn't take even more than a second. So when I'm aware of this, then I try to detach my mind from this body. So these possessions also, okay, I use them, but they don't belong to me. So that attachment will not be there. And when I lose them or they tear or they break, I'm not having any sorrow because everything in this world is perishable anyway. Then third reason, because I'm attached to human beings, people. Now this also gives lot of sorrow. But at that time you have to create this consciousness that all these human relationships, they are based on karmic accounts. Karmic accounts. Some karma of the previous births. Your son born to you is your karmic account. Your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, all are karmic accounts. And when the karmic account is over, nobody really belongs to anyone. However much you may love that person, but whom do you really love? Supposing that person dies, Whom do you really love? Do you love the soul or do you love the body? Because there are two things, no? Do you love the soul or do you love the body? If you say you love the soul, then the soul is eternal. And if you say I love the body, then keep it. But can you keep it? You have to bury it, you have to cremate it, whatever you all do. But these are different ways for making the five elements mingle with the five elements. So you cannot keep it too because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the five elements. Huh? It doesn't belong, the body doesn't belong to you. The karmic account was with the soul, but that finished. And now new karmic accounts with other souls. And therefore, attachment will give so much sorrow. And another very interesting thing, you know, it's an irony. Now supposing I say, oh, I love that person so much, how can I forget him? Okay, you loved him, but now really if you want to experience that love more, and if you're crying, that your sorrow will affect that soul too, wherever the soul has gone. The vibrations will reach that soul. Now if you love that person, that soul, do you want that soul to experience sorrow? Do you want that soul to experience sorrow? If you love that person, do you want that soul to experience sorrow? Now if you really don't want that soul to experience sorrow, and you are in sorrow, then aren't you giving sorrow? Then how can you say you love that soul? If I really love that soul, then I would also love that that soul be in peace. But if I am peaceless, then how can I expect that soul to be peaceful? Can I? Because my vibrations of sorrow are reaching that soul. Definitely they are reaching. And if they are reaching and that soul also comes in sorrow, so I'm not showing that true love, no? Because that one is in sorrow. And I want that soul to be happy. So if I want that soul to be happy, I should also not be in sorrow. This is one way to understand that I should not be attached to anything. And when I understand this, then it's easy to just withdraw. Now my part with that soul is complete. Now wherever the soul goes, may it rest in peace. And oh God, may soul rest in peace. Because I don't know the future journey of that soul. This journey with me was only temporary. Till my karmic accounts with that soul. It is a very bitter truth, but it is a truth. You have to accept this truth. And therefore just give your mind, your thoughts a full stop. That's it. Finished. My part with this soul is over. And then fourth is punishment. Definitely we will be punished for our sins. Because the soul cannot return home with impurities in the soul. To return home, you have to go back in the same stage you were when you came down in this world. We give a very interesting example of supposing I go abroad and I get something which is illegal and I'm not supposed to take back to my country. You know, people take drugs and all what not they bring, hidingly, stealthily. And I'm not supposed to take that. But I do take illegally and very hidingly. And I'm caught at the customs because I'm not allowed to take it in my country. And I do take, I go against the laws and I take those. And then what will happen at the customs? All those things are confiscated, no? They are taken away, no? Or you're allowed to take them. You can't take them into the country. So they are not only confiscated, they are taken away. Secondly, first of all, taken away. You can't take them into your country. Secondly, you may go to jail. You will go into prison because you did something illegal. Thirdly, when you go into jail, even if you are in jail, still there will be penalty. You'll have to pay a lot of penalty too. So first is this confiscated. Secondly, you go to jail. Thirdly, you have to pay a penalty. And then fourthly, all the sorrow in the prison. And even after you come out of the prison, it is such a big shame to face the society. What will people say? Oh, this person, that person, he brought drugs in the country and then he was put into prison. I can't face the society. And supposing he's still in prison and he takes those drugs and whatever he brings and drinks and, you know, does all the wrong things even in the prison. And in that state, he dies in the prison. Supposing. Now what will his next future journey be? The soul has all those sanskars of vices in him. And now wherever the soul will go, wherever he'll be born, the soul, he will be in that same atmosphere. But if he really wants to come out of it, he has to be in a good company who can help that soul to be out of it. And this is what the Supreme Father is doing. All these vices which you have accumulated, now become aware of yourself that you are a pure soul and you have to return in that pure state again to the soul world. These vices can't accompany you. They were not there in the soul world and they will not be there in the... You will not take them to the soul world. So what do you have to do? And when I'm aware of this, I'm accumulating righteous actions, because yesterday you heard this about karma. I have to finish my karmic accounts of the old world, but I have to create new righteous actions, and that when I become righteous, with those righteous actions, charitable actions, that I can surely take with me. Because I have done righteous actions. But if I have not done righteous actions in life, then the sinful actions which I have accumulated, they will be taken away and I will again go empty-handed. But let me go back with those righteous actions, then I can go with respect to that soul world. How do I want to go back to that soul world? I have to go anyway. So either I accumulate righteous actions and go with respect, or I have those sinful actions which are to be destroyed, for which I will get punishment, and then go back empty-handed. So what do I wish? What is good for me? Go with righteous actions. And how do I perform righteous actions? I perform righteous actions by becoming soul conscious and doing every action in a soul conscious state and in the remembrance of the Supreme. They will become righteous actions. And these righteous actions will help me to go back purified and then come in the golden age which God is establishing right now. This is what we say. And fifthly, and then in this, there's no fear of death. Because I haven't done anything wrong. I have not committed any sinful action. So that fear of punishment will not be there. I'm happy whenever the time comes for me to leave the body. And fifthly, I'm not alone. God is with me. Human beings can't be with me. Human beings can't be with me, but God is definitely with me. I'm not alone. God is watching, we say. Not just watching, but helping me. He's taking me along. You know, there's a very interesting story. You must have heard of it, that once someone was praying to God and he said, God, God said, I'm following you, I'm with you. Don't be sad, I'm with you. And he felt that God's presence was there and he was with God. But then he saw that when his state was very bad, at that time there were only 2 feet and not 4 feet. Otherwise he was seeing 4 feet, 2 of God and 2 of himself. You know, that's the story. But then very bad times, only 2 feet was there. So he asked, but God, when it was very bad times, at that time it was only 2 feet, where were your feet? He said, no, those feet were mine, not yours, because I had picked you up. I had picked you up. But what we think? We are going alone. We are going alone. No. But you need a long time practice to have that feeling that you are with God. You know? That is why people say God is everywhere. Because it's a very beautiful feeling. Never, never feel alone. Never. Never feel alone. Sometimes, you know how we experience, not just 2 hands working, thousands of hands working together because God is with me. And therefore there is never any feeling of loneliness. I'm not alone. Even when I'm leaving the body, I'm not alone. I'm with God. And I'm happy that I will have a beautiful meeting with God. So this is a feeling which we have to create all the time. And we can always experience that true bliss when we are totally detached from everything. Immediately I become soul conscious. I'm a soul, a point of divine light. I'm the master of my senses. I'm the child of the Supreme Soul. I belong to the abode of peace, and instantly I become peaceful. Yes? You can do that? Okay? Let us experience for 5 minutes. ये ये भी लाल लाइट जला ना पीली बनकर गो विद इन सर्च विद इन And you will find within. You will find yourself in the body. I am a soul. Point of divine energy, seated behind the 2 eyebrows, in the center of my forehead, and the master of my senses. This physical body is separate from me, the soul. I detach mentally. From this physical body and become aware of my true nature, this physical body is like my costume. which I have put on to play my role on this world drama stage. In a second, I can go beyond this body. I can also travel to my eternal home, the soul world, with my mind and intellect. My eternal home of golden red light, beyond the sun, moon and the stars. My eternal home of silence. I visualize my eternal Father in this world of silence. The ocean of peace. A point in form and infinite qualities in the Supreme Being. I'm the child of the ocean of peace. I am a peaceful soul. Dwelling in the land of peace. I'm the child of the ocean of peace. The rays of peace are coming towards me from that source of peace. How peaceful I am. Peace is my true nature. I feel so light and detached. How fortunate I am to be belonging to my Supreme Father, the Almighty Authority, who has now caught my hand and is taking me across. Having filled myself up with the power of peace in the company of the Supreme, I return to this world again and be back in my body to perform my duties once again, but now in a different perspective, with a different consciousness. And I am a soul, and I see everyone as a soul. Om Shanti. Good? You liked it? Yes? You felt very peaceful? Or was your mind wandering? Was it quiet? Silent? Those who say yes, it was quiet, silent, peaceful, raise your hand. Yes, very good. So you can practice this more and more. Okay? Om Shanti. But it's up to you. If you keep your eyes open, it is helpful in a very pure atmosphere. But if you go to a bad atmosphere, better close. Otherwise you could be distracted. In a pure atmosphere, you can take vibrations from the one sitting in the front. But otherwise you can be also on your own. It's up to you. Okay. Okay?